for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:5. And now the message from the pulpit of Wealthy Heart Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
We Americans use a number of words to describe a predicament. By the way, the title of our message is Between the Devil and the Deep Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14. And we Americans use a number of words to describe a predicament. If you're from the East, you probably know about being in a pinch. If you're from the South, you're between a rock and a hard place. You can hear us talking about being up a wall, up a tree, in a corner, up against it, and hard pressed. I recently heard a description of a predicament. A predicament occurs when an attorney who specializes in medical malpractice suits finds himself in need of major surgery. That's a predicament. It may be that right now you find yourself in a predicament. Have you ever felt like that? You might be in that situation because of unwise decisions you have made. Or you might find yourself in a predicament through no fault of your own. It occurred because of circumstances beyond your control. Children of Israel were in a predicament. They were in the process of moving out of bondage in Egypt, and they were headed to the promised land. But we'll read here in a few moments that they were between a rock and a hard place. They were in a real predicament. Let's look at chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 1. I'll let you be seated during the reading. Normally I have you stand up, but this is a long passage, so I'm going to give you a break here. Exodus 14, verse 1, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against, and you can read all of that for yourself, encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the seaside. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon the chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Wow. What a reading. You know, as I was studying all this, and you read where Pharaoh's heart was hardened against the Lord, against God. And I thought to myself, you know, why was Pharaoh so foolish? Why couldn't he see God and see God's power? And how could he see all of that and not listen to Moses and listen to what he had to say? But I believe after studying through all of this that Pharaoh had his mind made up. He had his mind made up long before the plagues began. And the real issue here is that he could not believe that someone was greater than he was. You see, Pharaoh thought he was like as big as God. He thought he was as important as God. He thought that he had the whole world under control, and they were ready for world domination. That's where Pharaoh was. So this stubborn unbelief led to a heart so hard that even a major catastrophe couldn't soften him up. Finally, it took the greatest of all calamities, the loss of his son, to force him to recognize God's authority. But even then, he wanted God to leave, not to rule his country. And this is where the real issue came in. It wasn't so much that he wanted the children of Israel to leave. He wanted God out of there. He didn't want God to do anything else. Well, I think it's important that we understand that we must not wait for great calamities to drive us to God. But we must open our hearts and minds to His direction, even now. And that's really important. So Exodus, the going out of the children of Israel. And if you go back to verse 14 of chapter 13, it says, "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this that thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage." So they were delivered by the hand of God. And the Lord did this in such a way that they would never forget what the Lord had done. And even to this day, we read about this and we are reminded of the power of God in His hand, how it takes care of His children. I think there's another important thing about this. This is a picture of salvation. See, they were rescued from bondage. You and I are rescued from the bondage of sin when we trust Christ as Savior. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that you can have victory over sin? I like what Dr. Babcock played today, but one of the things was at the end where we were singing Victory in Jesus. The only way that you can have victory over your sin is through Jesus Christ. That's it. But we're delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Now, if you go back and we study again what we've already talked about here in the book of Exodus, that very night the death angel passed over, and those who did not have the blood placed on the doorposts and the lintel of the door, their firstborn was taken in death. And so we have the picture of being delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Now, it's interesting how God chose to guide the children of Israel as they were going to leave Egypt and head to the promised land. And God always guides us in the right direction. Did you know that? He always takes us on the right path. But in this particular case, He had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They were traveling in the will of God. And let me just encourage you this morning, the safest place for you to be is right in the center of God's will. Now, a lot of people, they try to work around that, and they say, well, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. If the Lord will do this for me, then I'll do this. I remember there used to be a television program, a game show called Let's Make a Deal. Remember that? Let's Make a Deal. Guess what? That doesn't work with God. He's not in the deal-making business. Oh, He has certain things that He wants us to do. He has certain commands for us. But the bottom line is, you and I are supposed to be obedient to Him, follow Him, live for Him. So they were traveling in the will of God. However, trouble came. Do you know that just because you're in the will of God doesn't mean that you're not going to have a rough road ahead? Do you understand that being in the will of God does not circumvent all the problems that you can be faced with in life? Do you know that you can be serving the Lord and still have all kinds of problems and all kinds of temptations and all kinds of things that will come at you? But being in the will of God doesn't keep you from having those experiences. You know, we've asked prayer for Susan Bosley, and that's my son-in-law's mother. And she's kind of an interesting lady, but one of the things that she has done for a long, long time was that she was a youth sponsor in the youth group of their church. And their church is pretty good sized. And they had a lot of young people, and she is now 70 years old, but probably from the time she was maybe 35 or 40, she was a youth sponsor, and she's been a youth sponsor in their church all this time. And so she serves the Lord and lives for the Lord, doing things for the Lord. And now that she's sick, she's served under about four or five different youth pastors. You know what? All those youth pastors are calling and praying and showed up at the hospital to pray over her and call on the phone and say, we're praying for you, Susan, and that kind of thing. And here she is in the hospital. She's one that serves the Lord, but she's flat on her back and very sick. She's got kidney stones clotting off her, keeping blood from flowing to both of her kidneys. So she's really sick. Now, she didn't ask for that, and obviously. And she's struggling through that, and yet, you know what? I believe she was in the will of God. I believe she was serving the Lord the very best that she could. And I'm going to say to you that even though you're serving the Lord and you're in the center of His will does not mean that you get a pass-free card. Doesn't mean that you get a go card that says, I can go through this and everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's not how this works. And I want to say this to you as well. God sends those things in your life many times to make you more like Him. To make you more like a Christian ought to be. And we say, well, I don't like that. Well, you understand something? In order for you to be the diamond that you need to be, you have to have some polishing. And sometimes that's pretty rough sandpaper going on your back and in your life. And you're going, I don't really like this. Well, trouble came. And Pharaoh decided he should not have let them go. He said, man, I made a big mistake. That was really dumb what I did. I should have never let them go. I should have held on to them. And so the Egyptians pursued them with their 600 chariots and all the horsemen and all the foot soldiers and all these ones. And they're taken off after the children of Israel. I want you to look at verse 10. Says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And here's what happens. When you start being under the gun, when you start having difficulties, what do you do and what is your response? How do you respond to a predicament? How do you respond to this? Well, for some people, it becomes depression. They become depressed. The children of Israel were afraid. Did you pick up on that? They were just really afraid. They were in the habit of fearing Pharaoh already. I mean, he had really worked them over. I mean, when Moses first went to them and he said, let my people go, what happened? Pharaoh said, I'll fix them. You'll have to make more brick. And in line with that, you're going to have to gather your own straw to make the brick strong. And when they didn't meet their quota, what did he do? He beat them. Now, see, they were in a real predicament. They didn't really ask for that. But I want to say to you that they were already in the habit of fearing Pharaoh. He was a tough taskmaster. So then they prayed, but then they do like a lot of other Christians do, they pouted. Have you met those? Listen to me very carefully. It's real spiritual to pray, but it's the attitude in which we pray that's important. And you can start praying and you can start complaining to God, and that's not going to get you anywhere, complaining to the Lord. It just doesn't help matters at all. And so they prayed, then they pouted. Listen to what they said. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. Now, see, that was a lie. There were people died while they were in Egypt. And have you ever noticed people when they start to pout and complain, they also overstate the issue? Have you noticed that? They make it bigger than it really is. And they say, oh, this was so terrible. Yeah, maybe it was. He says, they say to him, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And they said, by the way, we told you, Moses, that this wasn't going to work. We told you that we shouldn't do this. We told you to just leave us alone and don't press the envelope. So the people complained to Moses, why have you done this? We were better off being slaves than in the grave. And you see what happens then, they begin to turn bitter. Have you met those Christians that have had a difficult time, and instead of saying, wow, I'm glad God taught me this lesson, and I'm glad that I've learned this lesson, they become bitter. And they become angry with God. And they say, the Lord wasn't there for me when I really needed Him. The Lord let me down. I got news for you. The Lord's never let you down. The Lord's never forsaken you. But we become bitter. And we start to complain and whine. You see, they focused on their problems and they forgot God's promises. The Lord said, I'm going to lead you out of here. I'm going to get you to the promised land. I'm going to get you to this special land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you to this land where you didn't have to dig the wells, but you got water. You didn't have to plant the trees, but you got fruit. All of these things He promised to them. And they are too busy focusing on the problem instead of realizing that God would keep His promises. You know what happens to us? We do the very same thing. We become so problem-oriented that we look at the problems and they envelop us, and pretty soon we can't serve the Lord for anything because we are still focused on the problem, and we need to realize that the answer to the problem is in Jesus Christ. That's the real answer. That's where we get the real stuff. That's who helps us through all of these things. And don't forget that God's still on the throne. But they were so worried about the problems, they were so concerned about the problems, that they had forgotten God's promises. But look at verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, now listen to what he says, fear ye not. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now just think about all of this. Here they are, and the Egyptian army's coming, and they've got all of these chariots and foot soldiers and horsemen and all of this thing. And I mean, this is a big army. This is a really polished fighting machine that's coming toward them. But I like what Moses says. Stand still. And he says, see what God's going to do. See what God is going to do. Focus your attention on the Lord and not on your problem. Focus your attention on Him. Understand that He's going to fight for you. And so he says, first of all, Moses, he gives them a little three-point message here. The first one is he says, fear not. I think for a lot of us, that's one of the biggest problems that we face. We're fearful. We're fearful people. And we look at things and we say, oh, this is the worst thing. And we try to figure out what the worst case scenario is. And then we try to formulate a plan to help us get through this worst case scenario. And 90 80% of the things that we worry about and are fearful about never come to pass. It never happened. Bless your heart, we worried about them. Moses says, fear not. And you know, you just start reading through the Bible and you'll see some fear nots there. Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. This is to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. They wanted a child. In verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now see, here's a great promise from the Lord. He says, fear not. He said, I'm your shield. I'm your protection. I'm the one that's going to take care of you. Then in Isaiah 41:10, this is my life verse. Another, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. What are you afraid of today? What are you worried about today? What are you fearful about today? For some of us, we're fearful about our job. Maybe we're going to lose our job. For some of us, it's health issues. We're afraid of the future, of what's going to happen to us with our health. For some of us, we're fearful of relationships and we're afraid that a loved one is going to die or a loved one is going to leave us or whatever. And we're fearful. What are you afraid of today? You know what Moses said? He said, see the salvation of the Lord. Isn't that great? Here they were. They were to see the salvation of the Lord with the eye of faith. Faith sees the unseen. He said, stand still. The opposite of what they wanted to do. Let me tell you, they wanted to run. They wanted to get out of there. They wanted to flee as fast as they could. And here Moses says, hey, whoa, stand still. Stand still. The opposite of what they wanted to do. A call from fear to faith. Have you read Psalm 46:10? Go over to Psalm 46 and verse 10. Here's what it says. You know this already, don't you, Dr. Babcock? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know what that means? That be still and know that I am God. You know what that's really saying? It's saying take your hands off and let God be God. Let God be God. Let God do what He does. So, first of all, He says, fear not. Then He says, stand still. And then He says, see the salvation of the Lord. See it now with your faith. Faith sees the unseen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Verse 8. Excuse me, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Think about it. Faith sees the unseen. You know what? I've never seen Jesus Christ. Neither have you. One of these days, we'll see Him face to face. But you know what? Right now, by faith, we know Him. By faith, we have a relationship with Him. But right now he's unseen. But one day, we'll see him face to face. We'll meet up with him and we'll know him. See, faith sees the unseen. Now that they believe, they are ready to act. Now, you see, this is the real crux of the issue here. Before you can move forward, you have to be prepared for what's going to happen next. And so here they are. They're now ready to move forward because by faith, they are ready to take action. Too often we jump in to take action before we really have the faith to do what God wants us to do. So it's important that you wait and do things by faith. Well, now the most unusual statement in the Bible. Now he says to them, go forward. Now, that presented a real big problem because going forward meant there's the Red Sea. How can we go forward, Lord? There's deep water there. Now, let me just encourage you here. There's some people that don't want to take the Bible literally and they want to say, well, that may have been the Reed Sea instead of the Red Sea. Or it may have been a time when they were having a drought and the water wasn't very deep. I got news for you. The water was deep and it was the Red Sea. And so now, he says, go forward. That seemed like a contradiction. We cannot move forward until we stand still. Trusting God, they could now move ahead. Listen to this. This is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. And I love Hebrews 11. But here is a final statement about Moses. And of course, it goes through a number of things about Moses and his parents. By faith, Moses did this and by faith, he did that. But we come to verse 29 and it says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. You see, trusting God, they could now move ahead. The cloud that led them confused their enemies, according to verses 19 and 20. And when Moses lifted his rod, the wind obeyed. A strong east wind divided the waters. The people walked through on dry land. The gospel and the deliverance of Israel from Egypt is right here. The Passover speaks of the death of Christ. The open Red Sea speaks of his resurrection, and here we have that. And they walk through on dry land. I can't imagine what was going through their minds after they've been whining and complaining and say, man, we'd have been better off if we'd have stayed back there in Egypt. It'd have been better for us if we could be back there. And you'll want to know that later on, as we study this a little bit further into the book of Exodus, they still had that whining capability and they still wanted to go back to Egypt on several different occasions. They had a short memory. You know what? You and I need to be careful of that. It's really good for us to rehearse in our minds what happened the day that we got saved. It's good for us to rehearse in our minds the things that the Lord has done for us. How you can see the hand of God in certain things. Many of you know 8 years ago I had a heart attack. You know, I thought I had the flu. My wife, the nurse, thought I had flu. We went to the Blodgett Hospital instead of the heart tower. My wife works at the heart hospital downtown. They got into the hospital and they ran some blood tests. They said, your troponin level is going through the ceiling. That means you're having a heart attack. My wife, being a nurse in open heart surgeries, she said, what do we do next? What's our course of action? Do we Do we do open heart surgery? Do you get stents? What do you do? Got down to the hospital. And I wasn't feeling good at all. And they came in there and they're looking to me over. And just to give you an idea, I went from Blodgett to the heart center in an ambulance. I thought I could just drive myself down there. That wasn't going to happen. And along with that, they shaved my chest, which I've never been able to grow my hair back on my chest. And they put these sticky things on your chest in case they have to shock your heart. That really gives you a great feeling. I said, boy, this is really good. I get to have these stickers on my chest. But the good news was that we got down to the hospital, and one of the physician assistants came in, and she was looking me over, and she said, you know, I don't really like the way you look. Now, don't. She said, your color is not good. She said, I'm going to push you to the first of the line. You're going to be the next one to go down and get an angioplasty and a heart catheterization. We'll go find out what's going on. The hand of God got pushed to the head of the line. When it got down there, it just so happened that the very best cardiologist that does stents, does angioplasty, does heart catheterizations is the guy that's going to be my doctor for that. Hand of God. I can't get over this when I think about it. But God was so good to me. When I got those stents, I missed 2 weeks and came back and preached. Remember that? Some of you do. It's the hand of God. I want to tell you something. When you start to whine, when you start to complain, when you start to say, I wish that God would do this and I wish God would do that, remember the times that He did do exactly what you needed at that very point in time. And you know what? You'll forget about whining and complaining. You remember what God's done for you. I got news for you. He has been good to you all the time, every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He's been good. Now, do you feel trapped in a predicament? Do you? See, I know some of you do. Some of you feel trapped in your situation with your health. Some of you feel trapped in your job. You wish you had something else or you're afraid you're going to lose your job. Some of you have health issues. You feel trapped in those. I've got good news for you. The Lord is with you and He'll help you every time through all of this. Stand still. And by faith, see the salvation of God. He's there. He's always there. And then He says, go forward. Serve me. Live for me. Move on. Now you see, some of us have got to the point of the stand still stuff. And the Lord's saying, go forward, and we're still standing still. You see, in order to get through your predicament, in order to pass through the Red Sea, as it were, you have to now move forward. You say, well, I'm afraid to move forward. I'm afraid to stick my neck out. I remember when I was at youth camp. I'm 18 years old. And I'm signed up to go to Iowa State University to be a veterinarian. That's what I wanted to do. Loved animals. Worked around the farm animals all my life. And the Lord said, I got other plans for you. I want you to be in my service. I said, Lord, I'm afraid to do that. He said, I'm calling you to serve me. I said, Lord, how can I do that? He said, listen to my plans for you. You've been making all your plans. Now listen to what I want you to do. But before I could go forward, I had to surrender to him and say, Lord, okay, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Listen to me very carefully. That's the best place to be, is obedient to what the Lord says to do. The children of Israel could have turned around and said, you know, I don't think I'm going to go forward. I'm just going to stand right here. They'd have lost their lives. They would have died. But instead, they were obedient to God. What is he saying to you today about obedience? What is it that he wants you to do today to be obedient to him? Are you still standing still? It's time to move forward. It's time to head out. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be obedient to you. And that is the key to the Christian life. Obedience. We used to sing the little chorus, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. And I like this next statement. Doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. That's what the Lord wants from us. Are you obedient to him today? Maybe it's in the area of trusting him as personal Savior. Maybe you've never received him as your Savior. Be obedient. Maybe you're standing still and you're not proceeding in your Christian life because you haven't been obedient in the area of baptism. You see, the Lord wants us to be obedient in that. And you won't be much of a Christian until you're obedient. And that's one of the first steps of obedience. Maybe he's talking to you about serving him. You need to be obedient in that area. Maybe he's talking to you about some other area of your life where you need to be obedient because you are right now in sin. Obedience. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons that we learn from all of these things. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be obedient to you. Children of Israel were. Even though they were faced with a seemingly impossible situation, they stood back and saw how God would take them through their problems. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not focus on our problems, but focus on you and what you want us to do. Lord, may that be a reality in our lives today. And Lord, if there's one here that's never trusted you as Savior, might they come to know you today as Savior. Maybe there are some here who are not being obedient to you in areas of their life. Lord, I pray that they would purpose in their hearts today, that they would follow you, live for you, be obedient to you. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:5. And now the message from the pulpit of Wealthy Park Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.